Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Thank you, Father, for enlightening us concerning the days to come and concerning what's happening now as deceptions from demonic activity. We thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to call this New Age and Alien Deceptions number 2. And I'm going to start with the revelation given to Philippe Besnard, or excerpts from it. I've known Philippe for some years, but when I first met him, he was coming out of 30 years of the New Age movement, and as such, he knew a lot about it. He called this spiritual warfare, revelation of a New Age deception, and he also said North America was the birthplace of the modern New Age movement. Amen. The North American continent is the birthplace of the modern New Age movement, and when I immigrated to Canada from France, I felt in awe of what I saw as the vibrant, quote, new spirituality, unquote, of this wild land. In comparison, I thought France and old Europe were still living in the Middle Ages. France is now catching up with the New Age, but for many years has been very slow to emerge. And as part of my new identity, adapting to a new culture and learning English, I became a true product of the New Age. I was eager to embrace the lifestyle and social and spiritual trends of my adoptive country. For 30 years, I had earnestly followed New Age teaching, traveled to workshops, conferences, seminars, training sessions, and festivals, met many of its teachers, and was personally taught by some of them. I had received countless readings from channelers, psychics, astrologers, palm readers, and tarot card readers. I received spiritual healings from healers of all faiths and denominations, and even so-called DNA activation from a spiritual scientist. But the Bible says in Leviticus 19:31, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Amen. I had embraced the mystic path and the contemplative lifestyle. I practiced yoga and meditation for many years, sat in darshan to receive the blessings of gurus, and participated in sats, sang, chanting the names of Hindu deities and Buddhist mantras. I facilitated devotional evenings with my guitar, chanting Sanskrit mantras, the music of which I had composed. I traveled to India twice and other countries in the Far East seeking, quote, truth and wisdom, enlightenment, and good karma, unquote. I have been in the company of and received teachings from a number of swamis, gurus, yogis, lamas, and so-called enlightened Western spiritual teachers. As a nature lover, I had worshipped nature, called the earth Gaia, followed and believed in various native teachings and shamanism. My space at home was cluttered with New Age paraphernalia on the walls, tables, and corners. In the garden, I had crystals, posters, images, and statues of Buddha and Hindu deities. The New Age is a melting pot made of practically every religious and occult philosophy found in the world. It is a strange convergence of mysticism, holism, pantheism, aboriginal animism, humanism, Luciferian Western occultism, and Freemasonry, Theosophy, Rosicrucianism, modern Masonic witchcraft called Wicca, the Illuminati, apostate Christianity, Gnosticism, Islam, Taoism, Buddhism, Zen, Sufism, and Hinduism. Wow. The New Age is a broad movement characterized by alternative approaches to traditional Western culture, with an interest in Druidism, shamanism, neo-paganism, voodoo, exploration of human sexuality, environmentalism, modern-day occultism, worship of Mother Earth, psychic healing, and extraterrestrial phenomena. Oh yes, those aliens. Most of the ancient origin of the New Age is to be found in classical Hinduism, Buddhism, and pagan Babylonian religions. So despite the name New Age, we are dealing with here a very ancient system. Paganism is a people or a community observing polytheistic religion, which is the worship of many gods, as opposed to monotheism, the worship of one almighty God, the creator of all that is. A pagan is also called an irreligious heathen, Gentile, or hedonistic person. The great New Age plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan is claiming to establish a new order of things. It is to make all things new, a new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new non-sectarian one-world religion that has already been recognized by the United Nations. This New Age globalism movement advocates a one-world government, a one-world religion. And let me add that we've never been any closer to it than right now, even with the new beast that's conquering the old beast. We've never been closer. And a one-world economy, and this would mean the destruction of the sovereignty of nations and religions. Yep, they don't want separate nations, they want one nation, right? Just a division of continental divisions, right? New Age teachers are using standard texts of Eastern religions, such as the Hindu Bhagavad Gita and the Tibetan Book of the Dead, as well as writings of Jewish mysticism called Kabbalah, and those Gnostic scriptures often called the Apocrypha. Over the years, I became more and more confused in studying such new revelations as the Urantia, a book, the Keys of Enoch, Academy for Future Science, okay, A Course in Miracles, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, of the Church Universal and Triumphant, okay. Yeah, and so here's a note I would like to share with you in the midst of all this. General Flynn, in September of 2021, offered a prayer at a large church gathering of Trump-worshipping patriotic Christians that originated from Elizabeth Clare Prophet invoking the sevenfold rays and the archangels. Rick Wiles has denounced Michael Flynn because he delivered a New Age prayer, almost word for word, by Elizabeth Clare Prophet, a New Age theosophist and Christian science advocate, a pastor at Pastor Hank Kuhneman's Christian Conference. Can you believe it? Last week, had everyone in the congregation repeat the invocation after him. Okay. Well, Rick said, my advice to you is to separate from General Michael Flynn. In this prayer, Michael Flynn invokes the sevenfold rays and the archangels. In your name and the name of your legions, to help guide humanity, ascended masters, by the way, and protect us against the enemy and further the purpose of their agenda. Who is God? And to whom is he praying? The sevenfold rays and the archangels is based in New Age theosophy developed by Helena Blavatsky. By the way, you cannot achieve the rank of a military general without being initiated. The white dragons who support the alliance behind the scenes believe that the Abrahamic God is Satan. At 11:53, what's behind General Flynn and the White Hats alliance? Here is an informative link. I'll leave that here for you. So we're going back to Felipe's text here. I also studied Rudolf Steiner, Anthroposophy. Okay, sorry. Edgar Cayce, Law of One, Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ. Heindel, Max, the Rosicrucian Cosmo-Conception Mystic Christianity, the Gnostic Gospels. So he was very well read. I don't know how you could ever make it through all that. there is a lack of uniformity in the doctrines of the New Age. The beliefs of New Agers vary from group to group and person to person. Thus, it is difficult to have a clear definition and solid understanding of what the New Age really is. I believe this confusion has been created on purpose. It is very hard to pinpoint, identify, and shoot the enemy when it's a moving target constantly, shape-shifting or invisible. Well, let me point out to you that the old Catholic Church was just that, a hodgepodge of all kinds of religions come together deciding that they didn't need their doctrines, they only needed to have unity for strength. And Constantine was behind that because all of these different religions were tearing the world apart, and he knew it, so he did what the beast is doing today. History always repeats, right? Okay, back to Felipe. People entering these movements are generally concerned with having an experience and not necessarily with finding the truth, that's for sure. Their actions are determined by feelings, not intellect. The emphasis is on practicing and becoming God. And this is why meditation and many other techniques that teach stillness of the mind and a receptive feeling mode are promoted. We are told to follow our bliss. Go with the flow. In other words, let everyone go and do after his own mind, right? Let loose to transcend the limitation of the mind. In other words, let's get rid of the conscience, okay? And to experience the pleasure and the ecstasy of the body. Well, you can imagine where that takes them. Using your mind to discriminate and discern has been a taboo. Oh, we don't want to do that, right? Well, guess what's going to happen to lawlessness? It's going to explode under this religion. No conscience, right? The principle of spiritual vibration is the belief that all things vibrate at some frequency. The ultimate goal of all New Age practices is for humanity to vibrate at the same frequency so that we can all become one, spiritually and mentally. And I believe they're working on that even with this vaccine. Mm-hmm. We are all one, they say. This most repeated New Age catchphrase wants us to believe the unity of all things, heaven and earth, spirit and matter, the invisible and the visible worlds, the great melting pot of darkness, light, and everything in between. Mm-hmm. Where we go one, we go all. So this all is one, all is good, don't worry, be happy, don't judge, and be in the moment, is a disastrous recipe that generates apathy and complacency. It is creating a generational of self-seeking, egotistical people who are indifferent to iniquity and the sufferings of others. I have been a dedicated student of this school of thought, and I have practiced being fully in my body, opening all the inner channels and feeling the subtle currents. I was proud of feeling and being, but I was a total fool. I had lost common sense and the ability to discern and discriminate good from evil. I didn't want to judge anything or anybody for the fear of being unloving and spiritually not evolved. What a perfect brainwashing and a diabolical device to enslave, control people, and turn them into powerless puppets. I was losing my God-given right to discriminate, and I didn't realize that judging is necessary for preserving the integrity of my soul. I used to confuse judging with condemning, and I know this confusion had been fostered on purpose. Then I discovered I can judge a situation or someone without condemning and feeling a love and compassion toward all the parties involved. This was a very liberating and empowering realization. Of course, our human judgment is flawed and imperfect, but as we draw close to God, we learn true divine justice. And I might add, discernment, right? Okay, second part here of his revelation, is darkness real and is it a sovereign force? The beginning of the story starts with a question I have been asking myself over the years. And what about God? I often wondered how God is seeing me, seeing us, seeing the world. I often cry out to him asking, why, God? Why is there so much pain and suffering everywhere on this beautiful planet? Why is there so much injustice, poverty, and violence? Do you have a feeling, as I and many others do, that something ominous is about to happen and that we are only seeing the beginning of a momentous transformation? It seems with each day the world is spiraling down into greater chaos, deception, and destruction. I know a lot of us choose to look at the positive and ignore the increasingly rapid deterioration of our civilization, but refusing to see that anything serious is happening denies that we as a human race are in deep trouble, is not going to change it, resolve it, or make it go away. No, in fact, denying is not seeing, and if we don't see, we are blind and hopeless to change anything. Amen. Because of my willingness to honestly acknowledge and recognize the darkness pervading our world, I have been more rapidly able to recognize this darkness is also within myself. And I realized I can only change something in the world or within myself when I am fully aware of what is truly happening. I have heard many times people say, "The dark only exists when you believe in it. If you believe in the devil, in darkness, you are giving it power. But if you focus on the light, the dark has no place to be." I tried that belief on, wearing it for some time, but darkness was still there. This belief crippled my ability to discriminate evil from good. Is not believing in darkness preventing darkness from manifesting? Is the world such a paradise that there is no darkness to be seen anywhere? How can anyone believe this? The dark, of course, wants you to believe it is not there. But even the most remote, paradisical Pacific island has murder, theft, violence, greed, etc. In my 20s, I lived on Boracay, a remote Philippine paradise island, for 5 months. I was living in a bamboo hut on the beach with no electricity, no running water, or any modern amenities. Life was so gentle and simple. I felt surely I had found the Garden of Eden. And one morning I heard that a man had been murdered the previous night. There had been some drinking and a knife fight broke out. I was deeply shaken to the core, as was most of the tiny population of the island. My innocent naivety that the world is a safe place was completely shattered. In that one moment, I became aware of the pervading presence of the dark. The light is such a broad, impersonal concept when it is not mentioned as an attribute of God. In fact, many of us embrace the concept of the light standing all by itself as a sovereign, impersonal, beneficial force that is replacing the name of God. Few people know the dark is quite capable and is a master at parading and appearing as the light. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay. There is the assumption prevalent in New Age circles that the light needs the presence of the dark to exist. We are told that within the fabric of the universe there is built in an eternal polarity that makes the light of God not being able to exist without the darkness of Lucifer. This is a clever but absurd concept invented, of course, by the dark to deceive people into accepting Lucifer as a legitimate, purposeful, and even beneficial force. The great paradox is this, that Lucifer is indeed purposeful, not as an independent sovereign entity, but as a force that God uses for his own plan. Amen. The dark was created and is allowed to exist by God for his sovereign purpose and actually needs God's approval and permission to continue to exist. Yeah, such like the book of Job shows very clearly. On the other hand, God obviously exists outside of this fallen, polarized world and has no need whatever of anything or anybody outside of himself. There is no darkness in the kingdom of God, not even anything that remotely resembles darkness. 1 John 1 and 5 says this, And this is the message which we have received from him, and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. All right. If there is no darkness in the kingdom of God, then surely this planet, which has been corrupted with darkness since the beginning of time, is not the kingdom of God. Jesus confirmed that fact by saying, "My kingdom is not of this world," John 18:36. Of course, this doesn't mean God is not present or is removed from his creation, but I wonder why God allows darkness to be here. Please be patient with me as I attempt to offer my understanding based on the fruit of my life experiences and the teachings found in the Bible. Okay, the New Age movement. For over 30 years, I had been searching for God and the truth while being completely lost in the great deception of the New Age. I was immersed in New Age thinking, was an intimate part of its movement, and worked to promote its philosophy and belief system. I was brainwashed to blindly accept and embrace New Age occult knowledge, and I was convinced my life of service and my spiritual studies were the highest expression of my love for God. I was sincere, as most New Agers are, but I was also completely deceived and clueless. My study and knowledge of esoteric and ancient mysteries gave me a sense of belonging to the highest evolved portion of humanity. Although I have always managed to retain some humility in my being through a natural devotion to the Lord, I still had a typical New Age persona, a spiritual vanity, that vague illusion of having achieved a higher consciousness. So they can really look down their nose at you pretty bad. That's been my experience with them if you espouse true Christianity. Okay, going on. This was constantly reinforced by countless readings, which I had received over the years from psychics, clairvoyants, mediums, and channelers. I was repeatedly told how great, spiritual, and amazing I was, and how I'd come here on earth from the higher angelic realms to save lost mankind. I was a walking earth angel with a mission. Of course, I knew everybody else was more or less told the same story, so I took all of it with a grain of salt, as I was aware of the deception of ego flattering, and I was hoping somehow I was special in the eyes of God. Little by little, over the last few years, I came to realize, through the grace of God's revelation, that many distorted truths and the outright evilness of the New Age teachings. But because of my passionate nature, I had delved into this New Age pool deeply and had many close encounters with renowned teachers and spiritual centers across North America. This firsthand practical knowledge and in-depth study has given me a unique perspective to share with you, the discovery of a very shocking and disturbing truth. The dark New Age of Aquarius is here, right now, and those leading the way forward in this New Age are working hand in glove with the great and the powerful. Some of the most wealthy and influential men and women on our planet are openly identifying themselves with the New Age, from bankers, industrialists, politicians, celebrities, and religious leaders of all faiths. It seemed everyone is going New Age, and they are bringing huge numbers of the population along with them. Yep. Darkness is a very powerful force at work over this world. It is a corporate entity made up of many individuals and is described in the Bible as the beast. It is also the embodiment of one being who has been known by various names, including Thoth or Seth in Egypt, Manu in India, Hermes in Greece, and Lucifer, the devil, or Satan in the Judeo-Christian tradition. God is executing end-time Bible prophecy right this very day, and he is allowing Lucifer to create the final end-time New World Order of the Beast Empire. And one of the instruments for all of this to come to pass is the New Age movement, also called the Plan, and what Freemasonry calls the Great Work of Ages. Well, you know that the QAnon movement has always said, trust the plan. And, of course, many of their front men are New Age people, very clearly, whose plan they are they referring to? Well, obviously it's not God's plan. Anybody can read the Bible one time. A child can read the New Testament one time, find out it's not God's plan. But it's the New Age plan. So, continuing, this is Lucifer's rebellion and master plan in action against God. The New Age movement has become a powerful political, philosophical, and economic force in our contemporary culture and is exerting its influence into every facet of modern life. Well, as you know, I've often said one beast is being conquered by the other. It's been throughout history that way. You can't say this is something new and it's heavenly. You can't say that. And we're grateful for this latest movement because it's conquering Babylon, which is the most sinister and evil beast of them all. The day will come when all of this camaraderie will melt away because they're looking down their snoots at us. Okay, back to Philippe. Its ultimate goal and plan is to introduce a one-world order and a one-world religion. The UN is gradually becoming the center of this new world religion. And the House of Peace, with its programs and policies, is even more worthy of comparison to what some have called a modern-day Tower of Babel. Yes, this is what they're doing. They're rebuilding the Tower of Babel. And Babel means confusion. And they are very confused. You can't look at that many different religions and study them without becoming very confused. But the Tower of Babel was broken up because God wanted to separate the confusion. But they liked to put it together. So back to Philippe. All of my research and personal experience during these years has led me to believe that Lucifer is very real and he is rising or descending, depending upon which way we look at it. He is here on Earth in this dimension, causing havoc and chaos in an attempt to seat himself on the throne of a world state and to inaugurate a new religion with himself as his sole deity. And he gives Daniel 11:36, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that which is determined shall be done. And my thought is Isaiah 14 and 13. And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the uttermost parts of the north. And we know there is a false belief among many today that Lucifer and Satan are the same, but this is propagated by the New Agers. Lucifer and Satan are actually two different aspects of the same creature. Lucifer, meaning the brilliant one, son of the morning in Hebrew, was an angel beloved by God until his fall, and after his rebellion, he became Satan. While there is a significant difference between the two, the terms today have unfortunately become synonymous with each other and with the devil. Satan has been busy working through his false prophets and religious harlots to pollute true Christianity and also offer a fake moralizing replacement for it to the world, so that no one has to repent of sin and no one has a conscience. Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about false prophet and religious harlot. Experience and the Word have taught me concerning prophecy that if the majority of God's people believe something, it has to be wrong. God hides his truths in dreams or visions that are parables, so that the false prophets and the carnal Christians cannot understand them, as in Matthew 13:10-13. But privately, he explains them to his disciples. He hides truths from the wise and understanding of this apostate religious system and reveals them to babes, according to Jesus in Luke 10:21. He reveals his hidden truths to those who are faithful, Revelation 2:17. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna. Manna, of course, is what they needed in the wilderness to have life, right? John's revelation was given to him as a parable from Jesus. If it was literal, the false prophets would know what's going to happen, and that's contrary to Jesus' own words. When the disciples were young and under the law, they did not recognize the false prophets that ruled them. As a matter of fact, they respected them. And so it is today. And I want to share with those of you who have eyes and ears who the false prophet is and what is his work. The false prophet is a corporate body of religious leaders that to the trained eye resemble those of Jesus' day. Since Jesus' day is a type of the coming man-child reformer in our day, we know that there are going to be false prophets, plural. False prophets, plural. In all of the New Testament writings outside of the book of Revelation, which we know is a parable, we are warned that false prophets, plural, would come. In Revelation, false prophet, singular, is used, but it's an allegory or a parable to hide the corporate body, just like a lot of other corporate bodies in the book of Revelation, right? Like the woman, the bride, the beast, etc. You know, these are all corporate bodies. Since Jesus, Peter, and John said that in the end time many false prophets shall arise, then the false prophet in Revelation is a symbol of a corporate body, like the rest of the characters there, like the woman, the harlot, the beast, etc., are corporate bodies. It's the only way that all of the verses concerning false prophets can be right, and they all have to be right, or it's not the Bible. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. This is what the New Age is all about. Matthew 24, and I'm going to read 11:24. And many false prophets, plural, shall arise and shall lead many astray. And 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So you see, they are plural. They are a corporate body. And that's what Revelation is pointing out, a worldwide happening. revelation is. People are looking, oh, this happens over there, this happens over there. No, all of this is happening all over the world. Well, they come to you with moralizing like the New Age, but they can't live it at all because they don't know the gospel that saves from sin, and nothing is sin to them. They have no conscience. They are false because Jesus said, to him that overcometh will I give authority, meaning overcome sin, and not just any sin, but sin as God identifies sin, not as man identifies sin, right? False, back to our revelation here, false prophets fit the type and shadow of history according to Jesus. Luke 6 and 26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for in the same manner did their fathers to the false prophets. Peter also said there would be false prophets among us. 2 Peter 2 and 1. But there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers. John also said that many false prophets would speak for Antichrist. 1 John 4 and 1, let's see, through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit. He's talking about the spirits in people. All right. Believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, notice that every spirit in this text is the Antichrist. He also is a corporate body. Okay? He has a head, and it's not necessarily an individual head. And in hidden manna, I'll point that out to you very clearly. Okay? The New Age is one of these false prophets that confesses not Jesus as the only begotten Son of God and leader of his church. Part of the strong delusion taught by the false prophets is that we are to be looking for the coming of a man called the false prophet, because the letter is what causes them all to stumble. While the biblical corporate false prophet is here in the pulpits already, and of course he's hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed it unto babes. 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. You're seeing it in the New Age. And it is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, since they don't have a conscience, you know what their works are, and they keep that hidden because they don't want to appear to be a sinner. You might say, David, aren't you sharing God's secrets with the false prophets? You don't have to worry about that. They're too proud and blind to admit that they have passed on the traditions of men. Most agree that the second beast in Revelation 13 is the false prophet. He's given authority by the first beast for the second stage of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, Revelation 13 and 5. And he is identified as a beast because he is a corporate body, as is every other prophetic beast in the scripture. And what did Ecclesiastes say about the beast? Every man is as a beast. Whoa, they are? Yes, a beast. Revelation 13:11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So faking out being a lamb while they're actually part of the dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight, And he maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. Now, I'm grateful for this new beast that's coming to take down the old beast, because it really had done a lot of damage. But let me tell you, it's still just the new beast. And they have this false prophet that's pointing the way to this new beast. Okay. Ultimately, this is not going to, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say it's not going to end good. Well, it's not going to end good for the beast and the people who worship it, but it's going to end good for God's people, even if they go to their cross, okay? And make no mistake about it, the New Age people are going to turn on the Christians as soon as they get their way, and as soon as they have deceived enough people, they're going to turn. The beast that is coming into authority now is pointed to by the New Age. It is a one world order with a covenant. Okay? And here we see, and in case you don't know it, this covenant has to come to pass. God prophesied it. He said it would come to pass. You can't stop it. It will come to pass. Okay? So what you must do is react to it in the way the Bible tells you to react to it. Well, here we see that the false prophet masquerades as a lamb. Two horns like unto a lamb. But he speaks as the world and Satan. And he spake as a dragon, which is one of the beasts, the first of the two beasts. And this second beast in chapter 13 is also identified after the world beast in Revelation 16 and 13 as the false prophet. So this imposter leadership for the harlot has a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:5, but is carnal and can only teach a worldly corruption of the word, which they do pick out little bits and pieces. They just don't believe the whole thing. They are actually a mouthpiece for the world beast in the apostate church. And it was said of the world beast in Revelation 13 and 5, and there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Yes, they do speak blasphemies. And these apostates speak against, and the Greek word there is blasphemio. They speak against God with their hypnotizing, ear-tickling doctrines of all fly away in some cases, unconditional eternal security in some cases, and worldly prosperity, greasy grace, and anything but the self-crucifying truth, and also this unity doctrine that they have. Everybody's God is God. Yeah. So you see, the false prophet is very broad. But one of the main ones is this new age that is pushing this new beast and pointing everybody to this new beast. Okay? And, of course, 1,000 years of peace that will be interrupted by the book of Revelation and the tribulation that they don't believe in. Okay? So, quickly, they're going to have to do something with their doctrine, right? The false prophet is a corporate body within the corporate body of the harlot. You know, the false leadership is part of the harlot, right? Which is female because they receive the seed of Antichrist. And in verse 15, we see the female body of the false prophet. And it was given to her, it says in the original Greek, to give spirit, that's the Greek word, to the image of the beast. Oh. Well, Bible numerics shows a perfect pattern for her and spirit in the original Greek. And in the most accurate New Testament, the Numeric English New Testament by Ivan Panin. There is no pattern in it for he or it in this text. I'll read it to you again. And it was given to her to give spirit to the image of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
In Greek, breath and spirit are the same. Numeric shows beyond a shadow of a doubt which words are correct here. And in the rest of the text, this false prophet is identified as male by the same numeric pattern. And why is that? Because they sow the seed in the woman church, apostate church, which is the harlot. They sow the seed. So you can see there is a way in which they are both. That kind of fits with the world too, doesn't it? A translator would have had to respect the word enough to ignore his own reasoning to simply translate what was there. And most are not willing to go out on a limb and look foolish when they do not see the reason. A male who is also seen as female is clear proof that God is not speaking of an individual here, but a corporate body of people. In parallel, we are the male body of Christ, made up in his image, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we are female in another type, Ephesians 5:22-25, being married and submitted to him to receive only his seed, which is his word. You see and understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see this corporate false prophet and his relationship to the harlot in another parable. We know Ahab represents the ten-horned beast who was being ridden by Jezebel, 1 Kings 18. The ten horns being those seven northern individuals whose families made up Israel. Okay, exactly as the harlot rode the beast in Revelation 17:13, Ahab was riding that beast. They ruled over the apostate ten tribes, who were also those who worshipped the image of the beast, the golden calf. As the corporate mother of the harlot sects of Christianity, she leads them into the great tribulation and death unless they repent. Revelation 2:20. Jezebel there teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication, that is, with the world beast, by receiving their seed instead of the seed of God, which was the word of God. Okay. Verse 21, and I gave her time that she should repent, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. How do they get there? They lost their conscience. Yeah. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. Well, like the harlot, Jezebel was guilty of the blood of the prophets and of the saints. 1 Kings 18:4, 2 Kings 9:7, Revelation 18:24. And in Revelation 17:16, when the beast is through using the harlot, he devours her. And so it was with Jezebel, who was devoured by the dogs. 1 Kings 21:23. Symbolizing the unbelievers, Mark 7:27. Or the beast. The beast is all lost mankind. And truly, it has a head, but it is a beast, and the body of that beast is all lost mankind. The true ministers of God are fed at the church's table. 1 Corinthians 9:13-14. And the false prophets are fed from the harlot's table. 1 Kings 18:19. The prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the Asherah, 400, that eat at Jezebel's table. The two categories of false prophets represent the two horns of the false prophet in Revelation 13:11. So find out who Baal and Asherah represent in modern times, and you will know who the corporate false prophet is. These two have their roots at the Tower of Babel, and were originally Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. in Genesis 10, 8 through 10. They created the original harlot religion that spawned all of the rest of them. They are a type of the great corporate mother of harlots of all of history, Revelation 17 and 5. And upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots. Notice, the mother of the harlots. Those denominations that came out of her, they are the harlots. And of the abominations of the earth. When Nimrod died and Semiramis, later called Asherah, became pregnant, she claimed that Nimrod had become the sun god, later called Baal, who then, by virgin birth, was reborn as her son Tammuz, a very evil type of the son of God. So these original Babylonians worshipped the false father, son, and virgin about 2,300 years before the true virgin birth. Semiramis probably knew of the prophecy in Genesis 3 and 15 concerning the virgin birth seed of the woman, and if she didn't, the devil did. Okay, so with the confusion of languages and dispersion at Babel, this legend went throughout the world, and these three were given different names in different cultures, many of which are in the Bible. The golden calf in Egypt was a symbol of the father, Baal, in the sun. And remember, Pharaoh's title meant Great Temple of the Sun God. Sun images all over the world and in the Catholic and in the Eastern churches symbolize the false sun. And the Israelites with their golden calf thought that they were worshiping Yahweh or Elohim, the true God. But it was Baal and another Jesus. So one horn, the 450 prophets of Baal represent those who teach another Jesus. This is the apostate Protestant ministers. The other horn, the 400 prophets of Asherah, represent those who worship the Virgin, and these are the Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and many others that are into Mariolatry. We know that Mary became saved and is our sister, and we love her, but she is not the mother of God, as Mariolatry teaches. Romans 1 and 3 says, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. His flesh was of the seed of David. Notice, Jesus' flesh was the seed of David through Mary, which was the promised seed of the woman in Genesis 3 and 15. Mary is the mother of Jesus' flesh, which is the Son of Man. That's what he called himself. Who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus' spirit man was the Son of God. Jesus agreed with this saying in John 3 and 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay, so much for Mary being the mother of God. That's ridiculous. She's the mother of the flesh of Jesus, right? Some would say that the two horns are the apostate leaders of the Christian religion and the leaders of false religions. To this I agree. The same verses usually address both greater and lesser types. The greater type is the most complete fulfillment, and all the Babylonish religions will be gathered together in the end time harlot. Okay. Let me say, the false prophets and the religious harlots spread from the confusion at Babel throughout the world, and now the Unitarian New Age is seeking to bring Babel back together in a new Catholic, which means universal, religion. that doesn't rebuke their own sins, much less the sins of others. Okay. So, well, I said a lot, and I hope you can take it to heart. I hope you will maybe even read the text again. I mean, I know there's a lot more than I put in the text usually when I speak these things, but to read the text again, you will and slow down and meditate on what I'm saying, and you'll see the wisdom that the Lord has given there. Well, God bless you and keep you. And Father, we just ask that you bless everyone today that's under the sound of my voice, that you pour out your Spirit upon them and grant them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.